Good morning, South Belt Church. Thank you for tuning in this morning and joining us for our time of worship. I appreciate you being here. I want to continue the series on wise boundaries this morning, and I would be remiss if I did not preach this series without addressing the subject of boundaries concerning sexual morality. Now, some of you have heard me say that, and you're already reaching for the off button. You've already decided in your mind that this is a subject matter that's too close to home for you, and so you're going to turn it off. Hearing a message on sexual integrity is not something that is appealing. Some of you are not reaching for the off button, but in your mind, you are rolling your eyes, you are squirming in your chair, because you're watching with other people in the room, and you know that if you protest the subject matter out loud, you might give yourself away. I want you to know that this morning's message is about encouragement and about living in sexual boundaries that God has given for us. But the fact is, there are many church people who have little or no sexual boundaries, and that's exactly why we have to talk about the subject today. Many professing Christians believe the holy instruction concerning sexuality can be compromised, even bypassed, or ignored, and that they can still live in a correct standing with God the Father. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's just not the case. The Scripture never, ever says that you can be sexually free and explorative and still be in the will of God and still hear the Word of God and still rightly divide the Word of truth. The Scripture just doesn't tell us that. I want you to know that this subject is not just for the young. Research tells us that those who are the most sexually expressive and live without sexual boundaries are those 55 years and older. We also know that it's always been a temptation for the young. But we live in a sexually saturated culture, and we desperately need wise sexually moral boundaries. Sexual morality and sexual purity will not bring you salvation. Just like none of the boundaries that we've talked about actually bring you salvation from God. But following biblical sexual boundaries and following the other wise boundaries that we've talked about will save you from the pain and consequence of not having and living in those boundaries. It will also spare those who are around you from the collateral damage that sexual recklessness will bring on their lives and on the lives of those that care about you. Without wise biblical boundaries, we convolute godly sex. It's one of the greatest gifts He has given us. And done right in the context of the boundaries that He has given for us, it is one of the most beautiful and can be one of the most worshipful things that a husband and wife can enjoy in the context of marriage. It's a beautiful thing. So let's give careful attention and give some consideration to just a couple very wise, very practical boundaries for our sexual morality. Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18. Now, the church in Corinth was a struggling church, and they had a lot of cultural problems in the church. It was a sexual center, if you will. It was a hub for world trade at the time, and there was all kinds of pagan worship and pagan rituals, and some of those pagan rituals included church sex, and quite frankly, that spilled into the church at Corinth. And so Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, I need you to flee from sexual immorality. And then he tells them why. He says, all other sins a person commits are outside their body, but the person who sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So how can Christians live in a sexually saturated culture just like the church at Corinth was asked to do? Well, let's follow the wisdom that's given here. The first boundary that is set for us is to flee sexual immorality. The Greek phrase for sexual immorality is the Greek word porneia. It is where we get the word pornography. And the word literally means to indulge in unlawful lust. We're not actually talking about the physical act committing something with the physical body. It is the indulgence in unlawful lust. Lust starts in the heart, which is why last week I talked to you about guarding your heart. Jesus says that if you look upon another person in a lustful way, then you have committed adultery with them already. And Paul says, look, don't let these kinds of things start in your heart. You need to flee. The Greek word there is to run away before it ever gets started. Flee from that, Jesus says. Flee from that, Paul says. Don't get bogged down in taking the second look or taking the lingering glance. And while the scripture says flee from it, culture says flirt with it. Let me give you some examples. When Disney did a live animation remake of one of its classic hits, they had in that movie what they called an exclusively gay moment. Because Disney was flirting with the idea of becoming more aggressive with non-biblical sexual boundaries. That flirtation has evolved or devolved, as the case might be, into a full film feature to be released sometime next year of a transgender superhero based on a Marvel character, which is owned by Disney. You see, scripture says flee, culture says flirt. When Tim Tebow announces that he wants to remain sexually pure until he gets married, he's announcing his declaration to flee. Culture eviscerates him. They criticize him. They ridicule him. Sports media chides him as not being a man's man. When a young woman proclaims, "It is my body and my choice, I will have an abortion," she is cheered as responsible and brave, even though that abortion is not for a medical reason. It is simply used as birth control. But when a different young woman proclaims, "My body, my choice, and I will practice sexual abstinence," she is labeled frigid. She is labeled a killjoy. She is labeled prudish or judgmental or intolerant. You see, culture says flirt with it, where the scripture says flee from it. Culture says run after it. Go as far as you can go. Seek sexual fulfillment. Let it happen. They produce TV shows about it. It pounds in the lyrics of our popular music. It slithers into the video games that your children are playing. And the notion that bringing you sexual fulfillment and relationship connectedness is a great lie. Because connectedness does not occur primarily in a sexual context. The godly standard is abstinence until marriage and faithfulness within marriage. And I hear some of you this morning going, "Okay, boomer, yeah, I'm old-fashioned that way. I'd like to think I'm biblical." But there are scriptural reasons that Paul talks about, even writing back to the church at Corinth, why this is important. You see, scripture explains that fleeing is your first course of defense because sexual sin is uniquely damaging to you as a person. Paul says that all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but sexual sins are sins committed against their own body. Every sexual encounter you have outside of God's boundary divides you. Jesus tells us in Matthew that we are to join together as man and woman, husband and wife, in holy matrimony, and we are to become one flesh. The sexual encounter is the making of that one flesh. But every time you find yourself in a compromising sexual situation, every time you take advantage of that drunk young lady, every time you succumb to that overbearing date that has taken you out, every time you say, "Well, I've been there, I've done that, I'm just going to live the way I want to live, I'm going to enjoy the life that I have, I'm going to express myself sexually with whomever I want," every time you do that, you divide yourself. You are to be one flesh, and every time you give your flesh away to another person, you betray yourself, and you betray yourself into little, tiny, fragmented pieces. With every sexual encounter, you give away another piece of your heart, another piece of your mind, another piece of your emotion, your hope, and your dependency on someone else to make you feel only the way Jesus can make you feel. When the empty that is inside you continues to scream and you allow yourself another situation of compromise, and crossing the sexual boundaries. You continue to break yourself into little pieces. You are desperate for someone to love you, but you have given so much of yourself away to somebody else or to many somebody else's that it seems almost impossible to find love. It seems almost impossible to feel love. Sexual sin is uniquely damaging because every time it happens, it breaks you into little pieces. But secondly, sexual sin is uniquely damaging to what is sacred about you as a person. Don't you know, Paul says, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Listen, Jesus died to save your soul. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all need a saved soul. And Jesus died for that saving. The wages of the sin that we commit is death. There is no difference in sexual sin and any other sin. All sin leads to death. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, and by his wounds we have been healed. It is Christ who died to save every man, woman, and child from their sin, sexual or otherwise. But Jesus also died to redeem your body. Why? Because he is going to impute in you his righteousness. And that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you continue to break your body into little pieces, you damage the dwelling where he wants to reside. Again, 1 Peter. So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is already in you. You can't earn your way to righteousness. He gives it to you when you make that conscious decision to believe in and belong to him. You are righteous. Don't break his righteousness into little pieces. By his wounds, you have been healed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. When you fail to flee, and when you fill your life with sexual encounters, when you fail, you break yourself into pieces and you damage the masterpiece, which is you. He died to save your soul, but he also died to redeem your body so that you can be a dwelling place for him. Flee sexual immorality. Run to the forgiving arms of a loving Savior. He promises that he will forgive your sin and that he will cleanse you from the unrighteousness that comes with that sin. There's a second wise boundary that we need to follow. Answering the question, how can Christians live in a sexually saturated culture? You and I need to do life in a community that encourages and equips you for purity. We need to do life in a place that encourages us and equips us for purity. Romans chapter 13, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he said, let us walk properly. What Paul's doing is saying, live your life in a proper way. Live your life appropriately. And then he says, as in the daytime. What he's telling us there is metaphorically saying, live your life in front of other people so that they can see how your life is being lived. Live it in front of others. Not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in sensuality, not in quarreling, not in jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Personal and spiritual growth is a communal affair. We need each other. And the scripture reminds us in various ways. In the beginning, God created. And the only time he said that his creation was not good was when he realized that creation was alone. We are created to be in community. We are created to be connected. We are created to be in family. When David was living in sexual impurity, Nathan the prophet brought him to repentance. When Peter is misapplying some of the Jewish laws for his own racist points of view, Paul calls him into account, corrects him, and reproofs him. We all need others in our lives to sharpen us and to encourage us in the work of the good things that have been planned for us long ago. I need people to speak truth in my life. I need people to help me fight for my sexual purity. I need people to help me live within the context of moral boundaries, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It happens to all of us. We are all tempted in many ways. If you are single this morning, let me ask you this question. Who is fighting with you for your moral fidelity in this life? Who is fighting with you for your moral fidelity in this life? You need somebody in your corner to help you stay pure and to help you stand against the culture that says, flirt with it, it's okay. If you're married, let me ask you this question. Who is fighting for you and for marital fidelity? Who do you have in your corner helping you love your spouse, honor your spouse, be committed only to your spouse? These things happen best in community. We all need somebody fighting for us, fighting with us in the areas of moral purity, moral fidelity, marital fidelity. So let me encourage you this morning to deliberately position yourself to do life in a community that will encourage and equip you for purity. It is okay to live within the boundaries of wise, godly sexuality. It is right. It is pure. If you've made it this far and if you'd stayed till the end, let me ask you to hear me on this. There is no sexual sin that the blood of Christ cannot cover. There is no brokenness so great that the power of God cannot be restored in you. Your life may feel like it's in little bitty pieces at this moment, but the God of the universe, who gave us these wise boundaries, also gave us the hope that if we will confess our sin to Him, then He is faithful and He is just and He forgives us of those sins and He cleanses us from all of the unrighteousness that brokenness causes. You have to trust Him. Depend on Him. Lean on Him. More than 3,000 years ago, one of the prophets of God says, "Come now, let us settle this. Though your sins be like scarlet, I, the Lord, will make you white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make you white as wool." Let us settle this. The God who created you loves you. And He wants to help you find your way being put back together. In Acts, the apostle writes this, "Repent then, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." If you've crossed the boundaries, you want your sin to be wiped out concerning this issue in your life. Repent and turn to Christ. Your sins can be wiped out. But it doesn't stop there. That times of refreshing may come. As the broken pieces of your life begin to be reassembled in Christ and through Christ and for Christ, a time of refreshing can come. You can know that there is hope based on His love and forgiveness from you. And so now it's up to you. What do you do from this point forward? Two wise boundaries concerning sexual morality. Flee from it. The second one is to put yourself in a community that will encourage you in keeping it, because the culture won't. But Christ will. And if you feel like your life is ruined or your life is over because you have crossed the boundaries, I am here to tell you and to assure you this morning with all of my heart that the love God has for you is unchanged. And the power of Christ to forgive you is unchallenged. if you will simply find your way to Him today. Let me ask you to join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You were big enough to repair the brokenness of our sexual sin. We thank You that You are righteous enough and love us enough to bring times of refreshing back into our lives. So I pray for every man and every woman of every age who feels unworthy and unable to be whole again, that they would in this coming week challenge that negative self-talk and turn to You. Lord, help them find their way back to Your comfort, to Your glory, and to enjoy the benefits of the righteousness that is in them through the presence of Your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.